Wildfire season is months off yet, but the Homeland Security Department's Science and Technology Directorate is at work on a program to see how Internet of Things technology can reduce the threat. It's a project of the Directorate's Smart City Internet of Things Innovation Labs, and joining me with more, the Senior Science Advisor for Resilience, David Alexander. Mr. Alexander, good to have you on.
Good to be here this morning.
Tell us about this program, how you are using Internet of Things to mitigate wildfire. Give us a sense of the context of what's going on here.
Sure. Let me give you a little bit of context, larger context. So our Internet of Things investment in wildland fire research really is part of a larger research and development agenda in support of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. This is particularly related to the biggest firefighting challenge facing the U.S. Wildland fires are occurring all across the country. They're not unique to one area. Just about every state within the U.S. has wildland fires. In 2018 alone, we had over 52,000 wildland fires in the country. Over this time span, not only have we seen an increase in the number of declared wildland fire disasters, but we've seen an increase in the destruction that those wildland fires are causing, an increase in the number of fatalities, deaths caused by wildland fires, as well as a loss in properties, both residences, businesses, and critical infrastructure being impacted. So FEMA asked DHS Science and Technology to look at where we can inject new R&D, new science and technology, research and development, to address this growing challenge facing the nation.
You're looking at detecting the initiation of fires as a way to get to them earlier. Is that the point of this program?
Absolutely. That is one part of the program. We identified seven key areas of opportunity to inject new research and development against the growing wildland fire challenge in the country. Of course, early fire detection and the ability to track more precisely and in more near real time the propagation of those fires, the movement and growth of those fires, is an important aspect. Being able to do that with a variety of sensors, whether it's sensors that are deployed in specific locations that are high risk, no different than us deploying flood sensors in high risk stream locations, or it's using new unmanned aerial surveillance systems or new earth observing systems, meaning high revisit rate, high accuracy satellites that can detect a fire within 10 minutes or so, and being able to transmit that information to first responders and firefighting forces on the ground to get ahead of the condition.
You've partnered with four sensor companies from around the world, really, San Francisco, Hamburg, Germany, Rockville, Maryland, right, and New Hampshire, and they are providing sensors. How will this particular piece work? The Internet of Things part.
This particular piece is looking at where we can have in situ sensors. These are sensors that are deployed on the ground in high risk locations that can give us early warning and indication of fires that are affecting those sensitive areas. They will then augment additional information that we're getting from satellites, particularly satellites that we're partnering and collaborating with NOAA and the National Weather Service, as well as other aerial surveillance systems that we're leveraging in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service and, in fact, the state National Guards in many of these locations or venues. So it's a key aspect of our research and development strategy for wildland fires.
We're speaking with David Alexander. He is Senior Science Advisor for Resilience in the Smart City Internet of Things Innovation Labs. That's part of DHS's Science and Technology Directorate. And tell us about what's going to happen. You put sensors on the ground, in the trees, or how does this all work?
So we'll put sensors. Typically, they will be situated on a ground or a facility, so that we get good line of sight, better viewing angle, and more open detection for those sensors will produce a better result. They'll be detecting different conditions within the air that they're observing from their viewing angle and then interpreting whether or not a fire condition is occurring within that vicinity. They are outdoor sensors, so they are acclimated towards being able to detect conditions that would be conducive to outdoor wildland fires. We will be testing them through a variety of use cases to ensure that, you know, we can identify false positives to evaluate the potential for these sensors to be expanded and modified to support wildland urban fire detection. It's also important to note that the sensors not only provide early detection, but early detection enables faster evacuation, not just faster response from responders.
Sure. And these are radio devices that can send back data continuously, in other words, to some sort of a gathering point?
Yes, that is correct. So they will be multimodal. So what makes them both an Internet of Things capability is that while they use the Internet to relay and transmit and communicate with each other, they're using communication channels such as radio, satellite, or they could be wired into a facility's network, local network. And that's to ensure that there is resilience in those devices. If one mode of communications fails, they have the ability to pick up another mode of communication and still continue to relay the information that they're detecting.
And what is it they are detecting? I imagine temperature maybe in one case or smoke in another, or could they, how about the aridity or dryness of the conditions?
Correct. So the intent is that they would be able to detect a variety of measures that are reflective of a fire event or may be conducive to potential fire event. And those include not just smoke, so especially particulate matter that's in the air. It could be smoke. It could be carcinogens. So those are the conditions that the smoke would actually be producing from the fire. What you smell when you burn wood is the effluent that discharges from the burning of that wood. It's not just the smoke that you see. So these sensors are attuned and acute to being able to pick up those types of particulate matter within the air. We also have asked for them to be able to pick up on humidity conditions to determine how dry the air is, pick up temperature conditions and other aspects that are known triggers for not the ignition of a fire, but influencing the growth of a fire once ignition occurs.
So this could have a almost predictive quality or an algorithmic component such that you might be able to learn more about when a fire is going to occur before it does.
The potential for the research going forward is if you start to perfect and produce more affordable sensors that you can densely deploy in high-risk locations, then you can use the information that they're collecting in near real time with artificial intelligence and other machine learning science to come up with predictive analytics on how the fire is behaving, where the fire may be moving, and then that complements the observing data that you're getting from aerial assets or satellite assets. One of the key deficiencies that was identified in our operational requirements and capability analysis effort was that preparedness and the ability not just to detect, but forecast and then track the movement of those fires was a critical area of need, both for first responders and critical infrastructure operators, but also for evacuation planners and mobilizing and optimizing evacuation routes to get citizens out of harm's way.
And from a program standpoint, as you get started, where are you doing this? What kinds of acreage are you able to cover as you do this research?
So right now we're gonna have some prescriptive, very narrowly defined initial use cases built within our relationship with SETI and the George Mason University. The intent is that we would then expand our experiments into wildland fire areas through partnerships with the communities that are affected. We are in discussions with a number of communities, and those occur both West Coast, East Coast, as well as within the Southwest and middle of the country. And that's intentional. We want to make sure that we're experimenting and testing the sensors from a variety of geography as well as a variety of conditions, because not all wildfires are the same, and not all the areas that wildfires occur at are the same. And that's an important aspect of the larger program in itself.
And do you expect to have something on the ground or tacked up, I should say? I don't know. I guess they're all over the place for the upcoming fire season, April, May, June timeframe?
We are working with several communities in addition to the work that we're testing on new sensors. So we are working with communities on validating and enhancing their existing wildland fire networks. So that is something that will be occurring over the summer. That includes not just leveraging our partnership with the National Weather Service and their GHOST satellite system with some firefighting communities to get detection information out faster, but it also includes leveraging some thermal camera networks and Doppler radar networks as well. So we have a very sophisticated and rich R&D initiative around wildland fires, and it's to leverage existing technologies that can be augmented or modified and enhanced, as well as injecting new technologies that can expand capabilities for the larger fire community.
David Alexander is Senior Science Advisor for Resilience in the Smart City Internet of Things Innovation Labs at the DHS Science and Technology Directorate. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll post this interview along with a link to more information at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Hear the Federal Drive on demand and on your device. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts or Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.